don't want what we know out there.
How a person can go from really almost nothing to becoming a millionaire by owning rental properties.
He would always buy these flip houses, and I just remember thinking, this guy is crazy. Why would he buy that house?
In the past decade, there's been a huge surge in the peer-to-peer short-term rental market.
Become an insider. So you have to know the rules before you get the game.
Every second counts. So make every second count.
Welcome to the Real Estate Jam. Whether you're just beginning or the best of the best, we're glad you're here. We will share successes, failures, and strategies for the action-taking real estate investor. And now to your hosts, JD and Melissa.
Hey guys, welcome to the Real Estate Jam podcast. I'm JD.
Hi, JD.
With my wonderful co-host, Melissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Excited. We got to go to a hockey game last night, and our team lost, but it was still a good time. Overtime
for sure.
Match. But we're not here to talk about hockey.
Sadly.
Yeah. So we're super excited to bring you guys kind of a real estate powerhouse. We're speaking with Sharad Mehta. And if you guys don't know him, he's been on a ton of other podcasts, Bigger Pockets podcast, From Military to Millionaire podcast. And he is the founder, creator, leader of Recently, real estate investing CRM. He's done 750 plus deals, flipping close to 50 houses a year. He's still an active real estate investor, which I think is huge because a lot of these guys that get into real estate software, they start to make that their primary focus, and then they kind of lose touch with what's currently going on, which marketing strategies, what's happening in the business right now today. Sharad, thanks so much for coming on the show today. How are you, man?
I'm great. Thank you, JD. Thank you, Melissa, for having me. Excited to, talk more real estate with you guys.
Well, I'm sure that my introduction didn't do justice. So could you please introduce yourself to our audience and give us kind of a rundown of where you started and where you guys are at now?
Yeah. So it's a little background about myself. I used to live in Chicago. I started investing August 2010. The book that kind of started for me was Millionaire Real Estate Investor. I just love the title. I'm like, hey, that's what I want to be. And I literally just read the book and followed it and started buying a bunch of rental properties and then started flipping a lot of properties. 2012 through 15 is where I did tons of flips to Australian investors. I was working with overseas investors just because the Australian dollar was strong against US dollars. So then we were flipping a lot of properties to them. And then after that, I started doing more traditional flip, your HGTV flips. And then 2015, I moved from Chicago to San Diego area where I live now. And that's when I started looking at a need for a software in my business. I realized how much inefficiency I had. That's when I started Recently. And I'm still actively investing. I do a couple of dozen flips a year. We do mostly to your traditional flips, but we do a lot of turnkey properties also. I also own a bunch of my own rental properties, and I also own a property management company.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a ton of stuff. So are you investing all over the country? Are you just investing in San Diego or what markets are you?
In Indiana, just in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So when I used to live in Chicago, I started buying out in Indiana, and that's the only market that I do investing in. Nothing in San Diego than the house that I live in. I don't do anything in San Diego.
Sure. Yeah. We have some friends in San Diego. It's a super competitive and super expensive market. What's the average ARV of the houses that you're flipping in Indiana?
It varies. We sold two houses this week. One we sold for 135 and one we closed today for like 225. But our sweet spot would be like 175 to 250 price point.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, so you're out there, you're managing a full-time business from you know, halfway across the country, right? So what does your business look like? How are you doing, you know, a couple dozen flips a year being so far removed from your active market?
Yeah, so our current team is, I live in San Diego area, and then my project manager lives an hour north of me in Marietta. And then I have one lead manager slash acquisition manager in Philippines. So we don't have anyone anyone local in Indiana. It's a very remote virtual business. We do marketing. We have really good systems and processes. I don't even remember the last time I even looked at picture of any of the houses that I sold. It's very hands off. Nice. I'll give credit to Claudia. She's the one that, you know, manages our project. So some of these are pretty big projects, like $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 rehab that she's managing from Indiana. Again, we have good processes. I don't even know names of any of the contractors that work for me. I've never seen them, never talked to them. I honestly don't even look at the pictures. My role is in the business is to make sure we always have enough money to buy the properties that we need. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I look at the numbers to make sure we're making the profit that we thought we were going to make when we bought the property, and then signing the closing documents.
Yeah. What kind of profit do you, you know, we have like a certain amount of money we want to make off a rehab, each rehab, and of course, on the wholesale deals. What does yours look like as to what that looks like?
Yeah, so the one that we closed today, we made about $35,000. Mm-hmm. The one that we closed earlier this week, we made about $40,000. So minimum $30,000. We won't look at anything where the potential profit is less than $30,000. We don't wholesale anything. So for us, everything that we buy, we close on it, rehab it, and then sell it.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned systems and processes. I'm wondering, what does your marketing process look like? What are you doing to find these leads? Are you buying off the MLS? Are you buying from wholesalers? Are you doing your own direct-to-seller marketing?
Yeah, so we do PPC. We're doing paper leads, need to sell my house fast, lead solo. Mm-hmm. We've started buying from MLS. We're actually found some pretty good deals on MLS and direct mail. That's what we're doing in our, and buying from other wholesalers.
Yeah. And so now you have one lead manager who's a VA in the Philippines. Is she doing receiving the inbound calls and doing follow up and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, he is. He's receiving all the calls. He's the one negotiating with the sellers. He's really great, super motivated. I'm paying pretty good bonus. He makes $6 an hour but every property that we buy, he gets a $500 bonus, which is
pretty good. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's super motivated. He loves it. He's out there like negotiating with wholesalers, with agents. What I do is I'll just go into recently and then listen to the call recordings, just, you know, notice SMS, back and forth, any comments or notes that we have, and just kind of give him any training on, hey, let's just handle it like this, or, you know, let's ask the question this way or that way. But yeah, he's doing great. He's out there, you know, building relationship with wholesalers, with agents, and then we're doing our own marketing also.
Great. One of the questions we get all the time is how do you find a good virtual assistant? Did you use a service? Did you, you know, go to Fiverr and hire somebody? What was that hiring process for the team member?
So this particular person, Jay, his name is Jay. I got very lucky. So I put it in our recently Facebook group. Hey, I'm looking to hire a virtual assistant, anybody that already has recently experience. And then, you know, one of our other investors said, hey, I have someone, you know, that they didn't have any need for. So I interviewed him, and he was a great fit. For me, I would say one thing, but we have dozens of virtual assistants in recently.
Yeah.
One thing we've noticed that worked really well for us, may not work for other people, is we look for someone who has high motivation. They may not have all the skills that they need. Skills are easy to teach someone. Motivation is impossible to teach anyone. So if they have the right motivation, if they have the right work ethics, you know, they want to learn, then that's the person that we want to hire. If they have the skill, that's an additional bonus, but that's not a requirement. They have to have motivation. You know, they want to make an impact. They want to make a difference in the business that we're in. And then we're okay if it takes them a month or two to gain the skills, we'll pay for the training classes or whatnot. But if they have the right motivation, that's the most important thing for us.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Yeah, we've learned that over the years.
Yeah, we've had our more than our fair share of bad hires. But one thing we've realized is people that have stuck with us the longest, people that we have noticed are the best people on our team, not just virtual assistant, but anyone, you know, even like hiring locally or anyone. It's the people that have willingness to learn. You know, they have the right work ethics. Let's say if someone doesn't show up on time, right? There's no training that I can send him to and say, hey, can you go take this training and it'll teach you how to show up to work on time, right? But if they're showing up on time, they're willing to learn, they're asking the right questions, then I can say, hey, can you go take this sales training, for example? Can you take this marketing training, for example? I can do that. You know, that's easy. It's easy to teach someone a skill, but it's impossible to teach someone work ethics. They have it or they don't have it. So for us, we look for someone who has the right work ethics, and everything else, it's teachable for us.
Yeah, I think that's huge advice. All right. So for some of our newer investors, I'm wondering if you could tell them, like, if they're starting today from zero in the next 90 days, what would you recommend to them to get either their first or their next deal? A lot of people do one-off deals, but you're flipping 3 to 4 properties a month. What could somebody do today and over the next 90 days to get their next deal?
I think one thing I would say is what we've noticed is, like, marketing is the wholesaling business that we're in. It's essentially a marketing business, right? You have to have the right marketing channel going on and consistent marketing. I would say start with the marketing that you feel most comfortable with. Just because you see someone that's crushing it with, let's say, SMS, cold calling, direct mail, whatever they might be doing, but if it's something you don't feel comfortable with, then don't do that. At the end of the day, every marketing channel works. It doesn't matter what it is. Some take longer, some take shorter, but they all work, right? You have to look at your budget, and you also have to look at your personality, right? If I have the budget to direct mail, and I have the, but I see other people doing really well with cold calling, but I just don't feel comfortable doing it. I don't have the personality to just get on the phone, call people, then I don't want to do that. It might be working absolutely great for other people, but if it's something that I'm not going to be good at, I don't want to go down that path. You know, the most important thing with investing business is pick a marketing channel that you can stick with for at least 90 days, absolute minimum, but I would say six months. Yeah. If you pick a marketing channel that you cannot stick with for at least 6 months, then don't do that. Don't do that. If you know you're not going to stick with it for minimum 6 months, then don't do that. You may get lucky. You know, you send out a mail piece to 100 people and you just happen to reach the right person at the right time, you get a deal. But that's not going to happen very often.
Yeah.
Right? The people that we notice are consistently doing deals. We have investors using recently that are doing, you know, a couple of dozen deals a month, every single month, like doing 200-400 deals a year. The number one thing we notice is they're consistent with their marketing. They never stop. Whether they're getting deals or not, it averages out for them, but they don't stop marketing. So start with the marketing channel that you can be consistent with. When an investor comes to us and asks us, hey, which is the marketing channel? Which marketing channel should I do? Our answer is always the one that you can stick with the longest. Hands down, that you can be consistent and you can stick with the longest.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So, you know, especially with the media environment around real estate investing, everybody, you know, you mentioned a couple of different marketing channels, but when you're a new investor, you come in and you see cold calling, so you jump to cold calling, and then you hear somebody else talking about SMS, you jump to SMS, and I think that's huge. And the other thing that you said is every marketing channel works. And we found that from personal experience. Yeah. Melissa hates cold calling, you know, personally. Yeah. So she doesn't cold call. Right. We have a team of VAs that are good at cold calling. So we have them cold call. I think that's a really big takeaway. And it seems simple to do what you want to do, but doing it consistently is really key. That's great.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure. Yeah. I just hate cold calling. So I just focus on email and text. And that is just like you said, you just stay consistent in it. And it, you know, I get leads, you know, every day, go from cold to hot doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like hands down, every single marketing, we've seen people doing deals with YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, but they're doing it consistently.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get deals. You know, Melissa, like you mentioned, you hate cold calling, right? So there's two ways to go about this is you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are. My mindset is I would rather double down on my strengths mm-hmm. rather than work on my weaknesses. I would rather find someone who can complement my mm-hmm. weaknesses. But just for me personally, I would just much rather just double down on my strengths and just keep building that. And then hire someone who can just compliment me on the weaknesses that I have. I'm like you, I hate cold calling. For me, direct mail is, if I had to pick a marketing channel for newbie investors, I would say direct mail would be the way to go. It's a good mix of, you know, being passive, aggressive, and then, you know, you're kind of just reaching out to the seller, something tangible. There's something, you know, different about like, a seller receiving a tangible note from you, you know, whether it's a postcard or a letter. And then that's another thing we've noticed. The investors that are doing consistent deals, they're all doing direct mail. They may not do direct mail as their primary marketing, but they have some piece of direct mail in their business. It may be their primary, it may be their secondary, or it may be just, you know, a niche list that they're sending to. But direct mail tends to be one marketing piece that all investors are utilizing, investors that are doing consistent deals are utilizing. So if I had to pick one, I would say go with direct mail.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. It is tried and tested. It's been right. around forever, and that's because it works.
Yeah. Now, especially as SMS and some other marketing channels are getting a little bit more regulated, you know, it becomes more important to invest in long-term marketing.
Yeah, we're definitely fighting that every month. Our thought is it's so difficult to get your platform to authorize you to send SMS messages. If you're able to go through all those steps, now that's a marketing channel that a lot of other people didn't want to spend the time on. I think it's even doing that and you know, going through all the registration processes, I still think its days are numbered.
You could get shut down any day by the carrier. They might say, hey, you're sending too much spam. They shut you down. Yep. If that's the only marketing channel you've invested in, what do you do? Like it's not in your control. Direct mail is in your control. Yep. You have a bit more control on direct mail, but you don't have any control on texting.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I am wondering now if you could talk a little bit. I know that you believe KPIs are really important. We also believe KPIs are really important. We've been tracking our KPIs for a long time, but starting at the beginning of this year, this is the first year that we have it almost automated for helping us track our stuff. We built our system instead of, you know, once a quarter, me having to go back through all the leads, all the deals, all the everything and put them onto the spreadsheet. We're getting them in, but I am wondering if you could kind of give us your theory on KPIs, KPI tracking, which ones are important, which ones don't matter.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this, if you had to pick some KPIs, which one would you say are the most important ones? The ones that you're tracking in your business?
So we look at it in three. We have the dispo side, we have the actual working side, and then we have the marketing side. On the marketing for us, with cold calling being our primary form of marketing, it's the correct number to dial ratio is really what is the leading indicator on every other indicator. If we're keeping that high, we're getting a lot of leads. If that starts to fall low, we go low. But at the end of the day, the most important KPI is what our bank account says. Either it's either it's up or down.
Yep. No, I agree. I think for us, the one that I, for my experience, the one that you should keep a track on, it's a lagging indicator, is the ROI. Mm-hmm. For every dollar that you put into marketing, how much money is coming back, right? That is the most important KPI that you want to look at. Like, people get hung up on cost per lead, cost per deal. But at the end of the day, let's say if I spend, you know, $5,000 sending direct mail. Just with this example, it's letters. I send 5,000 mail pieces and I only get one person to call, right? No more calls, one person to call. He's ready to sell. I buy that property. I make $25,000 on it, right? My cost per lead is 5,000. You know, people would say, oh, don't do that marketing. My cost per deal is 5,000. People say, don't do that marketing. But I made 5x on my money.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say I try that again. I double that next month and then I send 10,000 mail pieces. I spend 10,000. Again, I get a couple of people to call, but they both want to sell their properties. Right. My cost per lead, my cost per deal stays the same, but my ROI is 5x. Right. That's the number I want to look at the end of the day. For every dollar, you know, I don't know about you guys, but typically on an average, an investor will generally, the investors that are doing consistent deals, marketing tends to be their biggest expense. Marketing or payroll will be one of those two. So you're spending roughly about 25 to 35% on of your top line number in marketing, right? So that's the number you want to look at. If you can gain efficiency on that number, if you start looking at your marketing and you start looking, okay, what's the marketing channel that I'm making the most money on? If you don't do that by every single marketing channel and then every single campaign in that marketing channel, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, a lot of money on the table by not looking at it. You may think, oh, I'm spending, let's just say on a macro level, you may think that I'm spending $100,000 on my marketing and I'm making $300,000. You're like, this is great. For every dollar that I put in, I make 3x on that. But then once you start looking at it, you start going deeper. You start looking at cold calling. You start looking at direct mail. You start looking at your PPC. You will definitely notice that some of them you're making more than 3x. Some of them you're making less than 3x. And you're like, holy crap, I didn't even know on, let's say, my cold calling, I was only making 2x. And then I have direct mail and PPC, I'm making 4x and 5x. They're like, all right, let's just cut out cold calling from my business. And then let's start putting more money into my direct mail and PPC. Just right away, the efficiency that you gain, that goes directly into your net profit. That's the power of, and then if you go even deeper, you know, this is where like some of the biggest investors that we have, some of the most successful investors that we have, they go to the next level. Like we have some investors that have 150, 200 different campaigns that they're running. So they would test out different lists. They would test out different mail pieces. Then you start looking at your KPI. So let's say just you're doing direct mail. And then in direct mail, you look at, okay, I spent $20,000. I made $100,000. This is great, you know, 5x. But then you go a level deeper. You're like, okay, let me look at how much money am I making from my probate list versus absentee. And then I bet you'll notice one list is performing better than the other. You're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize absentee I was breaking even on, but I have this probate list that I'm making 10x, 12x on. They're like, all right, I'm going to cut absentee out and I'm going to double down on my probate list. So that's where if you can look at your KPIs at that granular level, your net profit is going to go through the roof. Like people get so hung up on, hey, I want to have a seven-figure business, which is great. You know, that's a great aspirational goal. But would you rather have a seven-figure business that's only making like $50,000 to $100,000 net profit? Or would you rather have an extremely lean business, you know, $700,000 to $800,000, but you're making $300,000 $400,000 net profit at the end of the day? You know, it's not the top line. Like, what do you get to keep at the end of the day? That's the most important number that you got to ask. And that starts with your ROI. And that's when you look at that as your North Star metric, that, hey, this is the number that we want to keep increasing. And then you're back into, okay, let's start breaking down your marketing by different marketing channels, right? Different campaigns. you know, and then even within different campaigns, you can go down to the next level. Like if you're doing direct mail, hey, is it the yellow piece or the pink piece or whatever, you know, if you want to go down to that level. But that's where you start getting extremely high efficiency. So you should be aiming for like 40, 45, 50% net profit number in your business as you gain more efficiency. That's what I would say. ROI should be the most important number that you start with, and then look at different ways you can keep increasing your ROI.
Yeah, I think
that's really good. Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm. That's a key takeaway. And I like the way that you explained mm-hmm. it there. Okay, so I guess now Recently is not a CRM that we have ever used. So I'm wondering if you can kind of, you know, just explain to our audience, you know, it, obviously it's a CRM, but some of the features and some of the things that it does and how it helps investors and kind of just give us a rundown of what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out, recently in 2016 or 17. The idea for us was when we started the company was that it had to be a software that everyone on my team could be on one software, that we didn't need to go to different software. And it had to be super simple to use, and it had to give us really detailed KPI. So I come from an accounting background, so KPI was a big part of it. So at this point, the point that we've gotten to, it's pretty much you can do everything in Recently except pulling lists. That's one thing we don't do because people are very particular about what list they use, you know, how they build their list. But once you put your list and you can, we offer driving for dollars also. So that's one way a lot of people utilize getting their list. But once you put your list, or once you've got a list from county or whatever, you can list stack it within Recently. You can skip trace, you can cold call from within Recently, you can send direct mail. You can get your own free buyer seller website for marketing purposes. Then you can, you have the entire phone system for lead management. So you have a complete CRM. You can automate your follow-up sequences. So we have automated drip sequences. You can send e-sign from within the platform. So you don't need any DocuSign integration. It's all built in. You don't need Google Drive, Dropbox. We don't use Google Drive, Dropbox. You can upload all your pictures, videos, shareable within Recently. And after that, you can manage your buyers, vendors, agents, all your contacts, and you get your separate disposition website where you can list your properties. You can do emails, you can do text blast from within the platform, and then you can also manage your bookkeeping and accounting. So I personally, in my business, I haven't used QuickBooks in 2 or 3 years now. I manage run my entire business from Recently, my financials and everything.
Gotcha. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for investing business.
Correct. Exactly. Awesome. Yeah. It's a true all-in-one software, right?
Well, if our listeners wanted to either find out more about Recently or get in contact with you to see what you're doing, where can we send them? Where should we, where should we lead them to find out more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, they can go right to our website, resimpli.com. They can find out more on there. We offer a free 14-day trial. So if they want to try us out to see if it's the right fit for them. But if they have anything I can help them with, they can reach out to me via email, Sharad, Sharad at resimpli.com.
Okay. And just the one last question is, you know, who is your target audience for Recently? Is it the very first time investor who's never done a single deal and is looking to get into it? Is this somebody who's doing 500 deals a year? What's the level of investor that fits this best?
Yeah, great question. We have investors from, you know, all different backgrounds, people that are just getting started all the way up to doing like, you know, hundreds of deals a year. It's for people that are looking to buy off-market properties. That's the common thing, is that they're looking to buy off-market. If they're looking to do a deal here and there from MLS that they're going to flip, it's not a right fit for them. But if they're looking to do direct-to-seller marketing, if they're looking to buy off-market properties, whether they're flipping with it, whether they're buying it for rental property, whether they're wholesaling, that exit doesn't matter. But the prerequisite is that they're looking to buy off-market deals. That's what the CRM is built for.
Awesome. Well, Sherrod, thank you.
You were great. That was so much information.
Yeah. And I could have guessed the accounting background, because when we started talking about KPIs, your eyes perked up and you know what you're talking about with KPIs and real estate in general. We really appreciate you finding time for us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Real Estate Jam. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information, check out our website, therealestatejam.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Real Estate Jam. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us an email at therealestatejam@gmail.com. See you next episode.